Of scriptures in your bulletin that we will use for the message today. Simple. Part of it was the kids' message. Let's pray. Lord, I ask that you would speak to us today concerning your will for our lives and what it means to follow you and also what it means to die to self. In Jesus' name, amen. A mother whose son was preparing to go to college wrote the following letter to the college president. Dear sir, my son has been accepted for admission to your college and soon he will be leaving me. I'm writing to ask that you give your personal attention to the selection of his roommate. I want to be sure that his roommate is not the kind of person who uses foul language or tells off-color jokes, smokes, drinks, or chases after girls. I hope you understand why I'm appealing to you directly. You see, this is the first time my son will be away from home, except for his 3 years in the Marines. Nothing apparently could make that mother let go, not even the United States Marines. But Jesus comes to us today telling us we've got to let go sometimes. Sometimes we have to die to self. In today's gospel reading, which we're going to read here in just a couple of minutes, Jesus is trying to prepare his disciples for his death. They don't want to hear about it. They refuse to accept it. They cannot believe that he, whom they had experienced as Lord of life, is going to be executed. In order to help them understand, Jesus tells them a simple but very profound parable. Read with me John chapter 12, verses 23 to 26. And Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. He who loves his life loses it. And he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there shall my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." Jesus is telling them that his death is absolutely necessary if there is to be new life that comes into this world. That a great God who has sent him as Lord of life is a God who works through a process of death and resurrection, dying and new life. That this is the way God has chosen to bring new life into this world. And that unless he dies, the fulfillment they have begun to feel in his presence will not bear fruit. And so he uses this little picture, the grain of wheat remains alone unless it falls into the ground, rots, and begins to grow again. Unless you die, and dying is part of God's will. Well, how do we die to self? You know, if you think about this, a teacher serves and teaches children and in many ways dies to self in terms of bringing them along in terms of that teaching. Any parent knows this truth. In caring for their children, you have to die to self. You get off your agenda. You get off to an agenda that has to do with your children. And you die to self. And out of that dying really comes new life that you produce. If you have a friend, a lot of times we have to be patient. And by the way, being patient in the old Greek means long suffering. And that means you have to suffer in patience for a friend. And so you die to self. But if you remain alone, if it's all about you and your will and your stuff, you end up still being very much alone in this life. But if you give yourself, and that is to die to self, that if you love someone, what you do when you love somebody, really love them, you want the best for them, even if it costs you in terms of your life, even to your denial, your death. Unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies. And a person dies to self. And Jesus is talking about this because he was getting ready to do that one thing for us. And then he says also in this, whoever follows me, whoever serves me, you're going to deny yourself. You're going to have to forgive people. You will bear the burdens of other people to the detriment of yourself at times. Wherever I go, wherever I am, there is my servant also. The disciples had to learn to let go. And they needed to let go of Jesus. First, they had to learn to let go of Jesus' physical presence. And secondly, they had to learn to let go of the desire to be in control of their lives as such. When Jesus told the disciples that he was going to be executed, Peter objected in one of the other Gospels. He wanted to be in control. He said, never, that can't happen. You cannot die. This will never happen to you. And Jesus replied, get behind me, Satan. Well, you're not judging by God's standards, you're judging by human standards. And Jesus was emphasizing in the strongest possible way that God is in control. You know, we pray the Lord's Prayer and we said, thy will be done, to which we add on earth as it is in heaven, which means thy will be done perfectly, unconditionally. The problem we have with this petition, though, is how do we put that into effect? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. A lot of times it's just a problem of motivation. We have to will to do the will of God. The difficulty comes for many of us when we make that tragic mistake of thinking of obedience to God merely as doing our duty to God. Something that we ought to do. It's a kind of a grim obligation that we have to carry it out. Some of us come to church out of a sense of obligation, and there becomes a grimness about that, too. I have to go. I remember as a kid, I grew up at Westminster Presbyterian Church across town, and the minister there was really a pretty good speaker. He was an ex-FBI agent, and so he was kind of real good at just talking to us. But they had an associate pastor there, and he was absolutely as dry as toast. And every so often, he would be the speaker, and my brother and I would just complain, do we have to go to church and listen to him? And that's one of the reasons why when I went into the ministry, I said, for God's sake, don't let me bore people to tears. But we just were whining, and my dad said, boys, we're not going to church to hear the preacher. We're going to worship God. And so we would go out of duty and obligation. Anybody ever done that? One government official and his several brothers and sisters were raised by their grandmother. And he recalls that the grandmother was very strict, and she insisted that they all go to church every Sunday without exception. And if a child rebelled and did not go to church, the penalty was a triple dose of castor oil. Now, those of you who are young, let me explain what castor oil does. Castor oil is a laxative. It's not a very gentle laxative for when you're constipated. And so this grandmother would give a triple dose of it to whoever decided they couldn't go to church. Her theory was that if you didn't have time to go to church, you shouldn't have time to do anything else. And this guy was talking about this. He said, it was years before I was able to go to church without that castor oil feeling. We get that castor oil feeling when doing the will of God. It means giving up things we don't want to give up, or doing things that we don't want to do. It may be, you know, sometimes we have a destructive relationship and we may need to work on it a little bit. But we don't want to do it. Maybe a desire to control other people's lives, which some of us get into that control thing. And God says, let it go. Always lurking in the background is the fear of losing the pleasure of the satisfaction we think that we're going to get from some of the things that we do, because we have to do what God wants us to do. When you get into a relationship with Jesus, and it's a real relationship, then some of those things don't become an obligation anymore. They become a joy in doing some of those things. When we say, thy will be done, we're not saying thy will is known all the time. There are times in life when it seems difficult to know the will of God. We tend to think in terms of discovering God's will and then doing it. First, thy will be known. Then thy will be done. Well, you know, when people say, what is God's will? Well, it's actually a very simple answer to that. What is God's will? God's will is for this, for all of us. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. That's the will of God. A lot of times when we ask about the will of God, we're asking for some kind of identity or purpose in terms of what we are to be in terms of our lives. But God's will for each of us is to love God, heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. When it comes to your purpose or your identity and what you're supposed to be about, that's also a little bit simpler than a lot of us think. What am I to do with my life? Well, one of the things that I've discovered is, if you really want to know, where do you have a passion? And the second thing is, where do you bear fruit? Because those two things can help give you a direction in terms of what God wants you to be and to do with your life, whether it's a work or it's in your job. What do you have a passion for? And where can you bear fruit? Where do you bear fruit? Well-known preacher decided some years ago that it was God's will for him to serve in a television ministry, preaching ministry, and he struggled at it for a while, but funding was for the project was very difficult in getting, and he was becoming discouraged. And finally, a Christian foundation expressed interest in financing his program, and he spent long hours preparing for his next broadcast because those people would be watching that. And during the broadcast, everything seemed to have gone well. And then the countdown came for the end of the program and the cutoff point, and the cameraman they're moving, they're focusing, getting things ready to bring it to a close, and the countdown on the final 10 seconds came, and it's 10, 9, 8, and they're going in the background, and so he says, I got to have a really good line. And so this is what he said. Most important thing in life is to live in joyful disobedience to the will of God. And the guy said, cut. And he said, oh, my God. And he went home and he felt terrible. His wife, he was moaning and walking around. His wife had watched the program and said, well, it's okay, dear. It's all right. You were just speaking out of personal experience. And later, actually, he said, you know, she was right. Because when the pressure's on in our hearts, we like to think that the pleasure is in the disobedience towards God. It'll be a great day for all of us when we break through to the heart of the religious experience and realize that the will of God is not something that is grim. It's not something that we have to do out of obligation, but it's something that we do because we love. We love God with our heart, our souls, our minds, our strength. We love our neighbor. And then we do it out of joy. And actually, Jesus is the supreme model of that in terms of his life. He knew he had to die to self, and he would pay the ultimate price in terms of that. But he knew that a long time before. At the age of 12, when he was in the temple, he seemed surprised that his parents did not understand when he asked, "Don't you know I have to be about my Father's business?" And then on, his unconditional submission to the Father's will traces through the Gospels like a golden thread. And you know, if Jesus was always mopey and down and doing things out of obligation and everything, do you know that all those disciples probably wouldn't have followed him around anyway? Kids wouldn't have come up to him if he was always doing it out of obligation. But on the very last night of his life in the Garden of Gethsemane, he says on his own behalf, and I want you to read it with me. It's Luke chapter 22, verse 42. And this is where it comes right down to it. Let's go. "Father, if thou art willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." Not my will, but yours be done. "Unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." You know, one of the things that we need to discover in terms of our lives is that a lot of times we're dying to self in order that others might come to life in some form or fashion. Whether it is a parent changing a diaper, or a teacher taking care of a child, or one of you teaching a Sunday school class, or one of you taking care of someone who is sick, you're serving and you're dying to self. And you're letting go of your own life that somebody else's life might have life. And that's the good news, even though sometimes it hurts. Let's pray. Lord, you call on us to die to self in so many ways. May we begin to grow into the new life that you want for us as we serve wherever you call us. In Jesus' name, amen.